We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning.
Brett, voters like to know what their candidates are made of. So what is the greatest personal challenge that you've faced?
You know, I grew up in Chicago, as many people know, and my folks got divorced at a young age, and my brother went through some challenging times in his life. And so I spent a lot of time as a young person alone, and my mother early on taught me kind of self-reliance and resilience. And that's a lesson that I've taken kind of all the way through my life. While I certainly appreciate the value of community, I was also taught to be able to depend on oneself and provide for oneself, because you never really know what happens in life.
Let's switch to the world of brick and mortar and financial problems. Providence faces a very serious unfunded pension liability issue and an even more onerous tab of other post-employment benefits known as OPEB. What is your plan for cutting that down to size?
Yeah, I've been clear from the beginning that I don't think Angel Tavares fixed the city's problems, but rather bought us a window of time. We have some massive liabilities that are still out there. The challenge is that our unionized workforce has done their part. We asked them to sacrifice. They did. It's now the city's responsibility to do its part, which means growing the economy so that we can afford these bigger payments that are coming. And that's our responsibility at this point. The plan is to grow the economy in a broad-based and serious way. And I'm the only candidate that has a plan to do that. I released a comprehensive economic development plan.
Let me stop you there before we go to Scott. Just a brief follow-up. Certainly, David Cicilline, Angel Tavares would like to grow the economy more than it's grown. What do you know that they don't know that will enable you to do better?
Well, I think what I've will walk into at City Hall is this window of opportunity where we're not at risk of not paying our bills, neither which Angel faced, nor am I following an administration that was riddled with corruption that David faced. We are given this opportunity to really hit the ground running and to execute on some of the plans that have already been written, so that we can dramatically grow the economy in a short period of time here.
Let's go to Scott.
Have there been too many tax stabilization deals over the years? I look at something like the mall, 17-year tax freeze, basically. And, you know, that's a very flourishing business. I understand you have to attract people here. But isn't 17 years a bit too long?
There's been too much secrecy and too many diverse deals that have happened. Tax stabilizations are an important tool in the mayor's toolbox. But what they need to be is transparent and as close to transactional as possible, which means that the city council and the mayor can't play favorites or play politics with it, which is why I've proposed taking the politics out of the process and making it administrative, so that if you are going to do X, you can qualify for Y on a fixed timeline, so that anybody can look at Providence and say, here's what's predictable. We saw when there was a company looking at developing the 195 land, the biggest reason they gave for walking away was the unpredictability of our tax structure. It needs to be open and transparent and predictable, and there's a way to put tax stabilization agreements within that framework.
What should be done with the Shooter's property?
That is an incredible opportunity for us. I mean, I talk regularly about how Providence regularly fails to execute on any of its plans. We have a harbor management plan that's been constituted for 2 years. They met for the first time in March. We need to have moorings off Indian Point Park. We need to have people bring their boats up to the city from East Greenwich to go to dinner. And I would like to see Shooters be a part of that broader vision, which means a food concession there, part of a marina, and some sort of outdoor use.
You told us a bit earlier how you see economic growth as the key for Providence's economic problems. Are you willing to commit to not raising property taxes if you're elected mayor?
I don't think it's responsible to make that commitment, but what I will say is that we cannot. It just won't be feasible to raise taxes because we're already paying too much for what we get as taxpayers. And so in order to change that, we need to actually start providing better services and making it more worth it to be here. I think a lot of people don't mind paying their taxes, but they want to feel like they get something for it. And right now they don't.
And one of the fundamental challenges for improving Providence's economy is how the cost of construction is the same as in Boston, but the taxes are higher here. What would you do about that?
So we need to make this a place where people want to be and therefore drives demand, which, because you're right, because the construction costs are higher, the taxes are higher, and the rents are lower. So tax stabilizations are a piece of the puzzle. But so are these other amenities. Having an active marina and a waterfront to make this a vibrant city that we know it can be, so that the arts and the culture and the restaurant scene are so fantastic that you don't want to be anywhere else. And frankly, you're willing to pay a little bit more to be here.
We already have a fabulous arts and restaurant culture here. What else can we attract to Providence?
Oh, well, first of all, we can do more in that respect. But there are other places to grow. I think our design industry, both industrial and product design industry.
Not video games, though.
Is not the video games industry. Things that are already here. We need to be investing in sectors that are unique to Providence that aren't going to walk away when a better deal comes along. And that's our arts, culture, and design industry, our working waterfront, an industrial port, and our meds and eds economy.
We're talking here with Providence mayoral candidate Brett Smiley, and now back to Scott.
Just wondering, the other thing is you know a lot about is water and the Water Supply Board. You were a member there, I think chairman, actually. And I'm wondering why this year in the legislature we didn't see any comprehensive legislation really focused on that would have changed the relationship that Providence has with the reservoir and try to perhaps harvest a little bit of money for the city from that remarkable asset that the city controls.
Yeah, I don't know why we haven't seen it either, and I'm disappointed. It's a priority for me as mayor to change the way we think about water in Rhode Island. When we think about statewide economic development assets, one of them is water. The rest of the country is fighting to the death over water, and yet we have it in abundance. We need to be using it as an economic development tool, and the city needs to recoup the investment that it's been making for 150 years in that system.
One of your signature proposals is a 10% surcharge on the sale of guns and ammunition in Rhode Island. What do you say to people that the vast majority of gun owners who might engage in target shooting or something like that don't have any connection to violent crime? Why should they bear the cost of that?
Listen, every gun started as a legal gun. And so the reality is we have a gun violence problem in Rhode Island. We have a gun violence problem in Providence. Those who purchase firearms and support the firearms industry should be paying to help mitigate the costs of gun violence. Additionally, there's a loophole in Rhode Island whereby you can illegally possess a gun, but legally purchase ammunition. And so we have people who shouldn't have guns that are buying ammunition. And frankly, at the end of the day, what we need to do is substantively fund the community groups who are doing important anti-violence work. And this is a way to raise $1.5 million to do it.
The gun lobby remains very powerful on Smith Hill. If the legislature doesn't pass your surtax proposal and you're elected mayor, how would you reduce the violence concentrated in poor Providence neighborhoods?
Making our streets and our city safer is a combination of things. One is putting more cops on the beat. We're down about 20% the number of police officers. Two is we need to police smarter by using data and technology. And then three is partnering with community groups so that we can engage community partners in neighborhood safety work.
How do you feel that Chief Hugh Clements is doing?
I think the chief is doing the best he can with what he's got. We've done, frankly, a pretty good job being down 20%. I'm personally very grateful. I think the whole city should be grateful for the hard work of the Providence Police Department. But there's only so much you can do when you're short 80 officers.
And you say you're not raising taxes. Where do you get the money to hire more cops?
So we used to have a great deal of additional federal funding that came to this city from Department of Justice grants. We lost almost all of that funding. We need to return to that. We also need to just manage a better budget.
Who are you supporting in the race to replace Gordon Fox in his state rep seat in Providence?
I haven't taken a position in that race. That's going to be an active campaign with a couple of good candidates, and I look forward to working with whoever wins.
And the Superman building remains vacant. I believe you've said that you might be open to some limited subsidy to try and revitalize that, but it's in limbo right now. What would your path be for revitalizing that?
You know, when we provide a subsidy, we need to recognize that all of us who live and pay taxes in the city are the ones providing that subsidy. And so in order for there to be a public subsidy, there needs to be a public good. I have not yet heard what that public good would be. I think there's many things it could be, and I hope the community has that conversation because I think a subsidy is probably going to end up being a part of the puzzle, but it needs to be a public good included in it to justify it.
Now, what would that public good be?
It could be something that creates jobs. It could be affordable apartments as opposed to just market rate apartments. It could be other kind of qualified community goods that justify the public investment. But a building entirely of market rent apartments, $2,000 a month, one bedroom apartments that a majority of this city will never be able to afford to live in my mind, does not qualify as a public good.
Yeah, but how then, without a big subsidy, are you going to allow the developer to recoup the amount of money that he or she has?
It's not our responsibility to allow a private developer to recoup an investment that may have gone bad.
All right. We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And Providence mayoral candidate, Brett Smiley.
Thank you.